Morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, July 27, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning, wherever you are listening, and we're all back together in the studio. Great to have the Pupster back in town, and well, we are saluting today. There is nothing better in sport than at the highest level, an event that's greatly anticipated lives up to the hype, and we certainly saw that yesterday with Ariane Titmus and the legend of women's swimming, Katie Ledecky, going stroke for stroke in the 400 metres freestyle. And Titmus comes from behind in the last 100 metres and wins gold for Australia. Our first individual woman in the pool to win gold since 2008 in Beijing. And that was a pretty good class. Stephanie Rice, Liesl Jones, Libby Trickett. And just the story behind it, the family packing up and moving from Launceston up to Brisbane in order to give her the best opportunity to succeed. Her coach, Dean Boxall, who's become a cult hero. What a legend. What a day. And, you know, you sit there morning to your Lozzie, you sit there and you think, oh, where does this rank? I thought, let's just enjoy this moment. How good is this?
Oh, unbelievable performance. The pressure on the young girl, taking on a superstar in Ledecky. And she was behind for most of that race. And then she touched the wall with 50 to go and she touched first. And then all of a sudden she just held on. Ledecky was doing her best, as all champions do. But she was just outstanding. The plan paid off. Her and her coach, Dean Boxall, spoke about just staying in touch and just back herself in the last 100. And she did that. And what a performance. Great to see the coach towards the end of the race, the way that he was supporting Ariane. But it was just a magic moment for the young 20-year-old girl. You know, she's now an Olympic champion as well as a world champion. You know, she's been dreaming of this ever since she was a kid. You mentioned they moved from Tasmania to Queensland to follow a dream. And all the hard work that's gone into it over the last 10 or so years, you know, ever since he's taken up swimming. It all came down to that one moment. And you've got to get it right on the day, and her plan was just perfect. Yeah. And I think a lot of people in Australia were so happy for her and so emotional for her as well when they saw the family and saw what they go through, and they were there supporting. And, yeah, it was just a magic moment.
And when you see Clarkey, morning to you, then in the medal ceremony they cross to Dean Boxall, the coach, again, he's – you know, starts crying, quite emotional. Mm. You just get a small insight into the sacrifice that goes into winning an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, and again, you know, not just the athlete. Morning to everyone. I think that's probably the one thing you don't realise a lot of the time when you're there as the sportsman or the sportswoman. You're so focused on your job and your role that you actually forget how important it is for others around you. And that extends to not only family, but you know, your close friends. They go through the roller coaster ride with you, and they listen to you when you're having a tough day, and they pick you up when you need it. And your coach is probably closer than anybody else. You know, you imagine the amount of time that, a swimming coach would spend with their swimmer. It would be 24/7. It would be, if you're not beside each other, you know, walking alongside the pool, then you're on the phone, you know, and unfortunately, these games, a lot of families and friends can't be there to support. So in this instance, your coach becomes your father, your brother, your sister, whatever it is, and you can see that closeness. You know, all coaches go through that roller coaster ride. So, you know, I think that's a great example of the athlete success. For a coach, it feels like your own. It probably feels better than your own. And I think, you know, for me, I probably experienced that when I got to Captain Australia, that, you know, it things change to the extent that you feel, and maybe it's age as well, you feel prouder when somebody else made 100 than when you made 100. You know, I've said that before about Hughesy. When Philip Hughes made 100 in a test match, I was more excited than when I made 100. Now, I know I wouldn't have said that when I was 21, 22, 23. You know, you cared so much about your own performance. But, you know, I'd imagine it's exactly the same for a coach. It's exactly the same as a parent. You know, when your son or your daughter does something well, you're prouder than when you do it. So, yeah, those scenes were exactly that. It was pure emotion, and I don't think there was anything wrong with it. I think it was great to see.
And I hope for all those kids who were not in lockdown doing homeschooling yesterday, I hope teachers around the country as well just stop class for for
Mate,
10 minutes.
There's no chance of that. I was going to say, I didn't want to say it out loud, but I got no choice. I missed the race because I had to do French with a five-year-old. Can you believe it? My daughter, she's 5 years of age.
Come on, teachers. You've got to give them a taste. This is life lessons.
It's unbelievable. And Seriously. She's on Zoom from 8:30 to 3 o'clock and no pause. She had to do her French. Mm. And there I am. I don't know French either. I'm like, sweetie, this is way more important what's about to happen on the television screen. But, yeah, that's what do you do? Kids are in class and you got to play on. But, yeah, again, I think that's – I don't know. For me as well, sport has always been such an important part of my life. And, you know, I've said openly to Kelsey Lee's mother that these Olympic games, I want my daughter to watch Olympic games. Mm. There might just be something on that TV screen that inspires her to want to do swimming or want to do gymnastics or want to do water polo or want to play basketball, whatever it is. And to me, in my journey, that has been just as important as doing my English or doing my math. So, yeah, unfortunately, I got to watch the highlights. I didn't get to see it live, but unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great to see the scenes, Loz, of the family up at Noosa and their reaction through the race. And Dawn Fraser just randomly there as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's always good. You know, it's disappointing that they can't get over to Tokyo, and they would have loved to have been there to support their children. But unfortunately, with what's happening around the world, that's not the case. But to get them in the hub up there, obviously the ones that could make it, it's just great. I think, you know, I sat there on the lounge yesterday when I watched it, you know, I had a bit of a tear in my eye because you saw how supportive they were of their child. And it was a childhood dream. And all the support that the mums and dads have made throughout a swimmer's career, it's amazing because of the time that they have to give to their kid for them to succeed. They give up their life for their kid and they drop them off to swimming so early in the morning. They're there to pick them up. They're there to get them to school. They're there taking them from school back to training in the afternoon. There's a lot of hours. There's a lot of commitment by a lot of people from behind the scenes. And it's a win for a lot of people. And she became an Australian star last night. And it was great to see.
Yeah, life-changing moment for her. Straight away, actually, well, not straight away, but in the arvo, I was like, oh, this sort of reminds me Dean Boxall, the coach, Laurie Lawrence, obviously, and Duncan Armstrong back in 1988. And I just got on YouTube and had a look at that again, the great Laurie Lawrence and his reaction to Duncan Armstrong winning gold and a world record in the men's 200 free back then. He has six swimmers from his club, Dean Boxall, his club in Brisbane, qualified for the Olympics. So he's...
He's doing something,
he's
right?
He's doing something very, very well.
Well, again, I've always said that about a coach as well. You can see that closeness. And that's a massive part, I think, of what your coach's role is. You build a relationship and a friendship where the sportsman or sportswoman has ultimate trust in you. Yes, you learn their strengths and their weaknesses, but it's the freedom to also, you know, be there to tell them when they're not training hard enough or pick them up when they're having a tough day and build confidence into your athlete. And I think that, for me anyway, through my career, having a long-term coach that I started with at, you know, 7 years of age, that was his role. His role was to know me so well to work out when I need a hug versus when I need to be sprayed about, you know, not training hard enough. And that builds so much trust between athlete and coach. Mm.
Well, tell us what you thought of yesterday, 13:53:53, particularly for those of you with kids. Did they watch it and tell us what they thought? What inspiration did it give them? Did you stop schooling them, for those homeschooling them for a bit, to have them watch it? Because it was a magic moment in Australian Olympic history, no doubt about it. And saluting Ariane Titmus today, 0419-767-272 on the text line as well. Saw one of the great farces in the Olympics yesterday. It happened actually while we were on air yesterday morning. Only caught the gravity of it after the show. But in the men's triathlon, fellas, did you see this? The starter's gun goes off. What was the starter doing? A men's triathlon. Clarkey, your boat's in the way.
Oh, no.
So there's a boat there, and the boat is dead set.
What do you mean? The boat's got the
right
camera.
Right near the pontoon as the gun goes off, and the swim in the first legs, obviously, the swimming at the triathlon.
Had to go around it.
Well, it ended up being a false start, and there were some swimmers, like the boats then sped off, and obviously a lot of wash from the boater.
No.
One of the... Like how it's not the, I don't know, the South Coast Triathlon.
Is it the
it's
boat?
The Olympic
is it
Games.
The boat holding the camera, the photographers, or the, whoever's filming the event?
It's a media boat.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, but it's smack bang in the middle.
Yes, right next
Disaster.
To the pontoon. Yeah.
Disaster.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Swim into the wash
as well.
It was
basically half the field jumped in the water and they swam about 100 metres and the other half just stood there wondering what was going on.
Oh, no.
But they didn't do too much damage, but it's right. It's an Olympic Games. It was amateur hour. They should have waited until the boat got out of there.
Oh, unbelievable. And in the midst of the chaos, Aussie Jake Birtwistle, he was kicked in the face and suffered a broken nose in the false start. So then, and he said, you know, it was pretty difficult breathing. Here it is. I'm just showing the boys here in the studio for those of you who haven't seen it. So the media boat is right on the, and there's half the field haven't even jumped in the water as the boat speeds away. And you got the other half going hell for leather.
That's a disaster.
And then the officials have to come and round them up to make them start again and, you know, inform that it's a false start. What is the starter doing?
Oh, my God. What
is the starter just panicked and gone,
ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Mate, head tail.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, that's a disaster.
And you feel for Jake Birtwistle. So he's finished 16th in the best of the Aussies. And he said his run leg is his strength. He said by the time he got to the run, he was cooked. But he's, you know, he's ended up finishing 16th, but he's the one who suffered a broken nose. He said it was just, you know, it was like a scrum as they jumped in the water. But it's the Olympic Games. Yeah. A starter. The boat is dead set 3 metres off the pontoon.
Great failures in sport.
Good looking rib as well. Good boat, you know.
Unbelievable. That's one of the great disaster. Olympic fails. We've had two in 2 days. Of course, the Dutch cyclist as well, who thought she'd won. And I'm blaming her team for that.
you can't blame a team.
For not knowing if you
won or not? I'm blaming the team. They had to get the message to her, surely. Just watching the third one day here at the moment as well. The West Indies winning the toss and electing to bat 3 for 59. Dan Christian's playing his first one day for Australia in 7 years. Dead set, Kieran Pollard. He looks like he should be playing back row for the Roosters. What
He's
a unit.
A big unit, isn't he?
Yeah, he's strong, Pollard.
Can't hit it, can't he?
Smacks it out of the park. He's been injured as well, so he missed the T20s. Back playing... the ODI. He's their captain. He's West Indies captain. Mm. Good player. Brilliant 2020 cricketer. He didn't play much test cricket. He's done okay in the one days, but brilliant T20 player.
Decent start for the Aussies. So 3 for 59 in the 18th over the West Indies after winning the toss in batting. Hazelwood, 5 overs, 1 for 10. Agar, Ashton, 6 overs, 1 for 25. Ashton Turner, 3 overs, 1 for 5. Mitch Stark, 3 overs, none for 14. The bowling there so far for the Aussies. But in the papers today, well, front page of the Telegraph, front page of all the papers, Ariane Titmus, the feature, Braveheart is the headline. Arnie's epic victory over US champ, a triumph of class, courage and character. Back page of the telly and a picture of Sally Fitzgibbons there as she sends a message of hope back home and she's continuing to charge towards hopefully a medal in the surfing at the Olympics for the first time. But the big story yesterday, Buzz Rothfield, on the back page, exclusive, still fire in belly. Storm super coach commits for 20th year. So Phil Rothfield reported that Craig Bellamy is staying for at least next season as coach of the Melbourne Storm. And when he gives it away, whenever that is, he'll become director of football and choose his successor. So this is a massive... It was just the impact on that club because the NRL can't afford that club to go backwards, the Melbourne Storm, in that market, Loz, and what this will do not only for, you know, I guess the longer term or the medium to longer term of the Melbourne Storm, but the short term with some of those players who are off contract as well, Brandon Smith, Ryan Pappenhausen, amongst others.
Yeah, and it stops him from going and taking his IP to a different club and setting up there and making them as successful as the Melbourne Storm. But Craig Bellamy, wow, what a coach, what a influence he's been on that club. And he'll continue to have a future there. And I think that's good news for the Melbourne Storm, not only to have him in charge next year, but have him in some capacity when he finishes coaching. The biggest decision that the Storm are going to have to make is who will that bloke be? Who will there be... the replacement coach B, because he's got a big job to do. Melbourne under Bellamy, you know, they've lost superstar after superstar and they continually replace them with the best young talent. You look at what they've been able to do when they lost Slater, they brought in Pappenhausen. You know, losing Cameron Smith, you've got a guy there like Brandon Smith and also Harry Grant. Jerome Hughes, they've turned him into a Cooper Cronk-style player. So their recruitment has been fantastic, but it's been the system that they're in that's allowed them to flourish. And I think that's why a lot of people put their hand up to go to Melbourne if they get an opportunity, because they know that it's going to improve them as a person, but improve them as a footballer. And the system and the coaching that they have down there is second to none.
Clarkey, what are your thoughts on a current coach selecting his successor? Because that's what's going to happen here at Melbourne.
Well, I think it's a unique situation. Yeah, and I think someone in Craig Bellamy's position or a Wayne Bennett, for example, I think he's very different to a coach that's been there for 5 years, for example. I think when you got that sort of experience, you know what it takes to not only run a team but run a club. And if Craig Bellamy's going to go into a role that's going to oversee that position – it makes a lot of sense to me. He knows what's worked at Melbourne. I think the only time there's that conflict is if board or CEO want to go in a completely different direction, want to change the style of what you've had in a long-term coach. But it seems to me Melbourne don't want to do that. They actually want to find a very similar personality to continue to run the club in the successful way it's been run. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. In other words, it's not broken. So why fix it? Mm. And if Craig Bellamy gets to a stage where he doesn't want to do it anymore because of lifestyle, wants to spend time with his family, he's at that age, then, you know, surely there'd be no one better than him to work out who's the right person to come in and fill that role and do it the way that I've been able to do it for 20 years, such a long period of time.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great decision for him, Craig, to have input. I think at Melbourne, you can see they're a different club to a lot of others.
Yep.
And they're value-based, principle-based. There's non-negotiables at that football team, within that football team. And I think they don't want to see that erode over time. So the best thing to do is to get someone in that follows the process, that knows that what works and knows what it means to be a Melbourne Storm player. And you identify that at an early stage in their footy career. Or if they're not in your system, you identify it at some other club. And you have the ability to turn them into the player that you need for your organisation. So I think Craig being there, being able to assist that process in, this is the guy that I believe can continue on our success, continue to have the same values that we have, I think that's a good thing. Because the last thing that Melbourne need to do is get someone in there that changes the whole blueprint of the organisation and tries to take it in another direction. So I think that would then fail. You might have success, but I reckon it could bring the Storm undone. Whereas if you put someone in to a system-based club, they know what they're doing, you're there to help, you're sitting above them, you get some input, the system rolls on. That's the way I see it.
Also, the back page of the telly, Tuivasa shock for Warriors. So long, RTS. So it emerged yesterday that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's career with the club is over. He's been given a release as New Zealand is set to shut its borders. So players from the Warriors are set to be here for an indefinite period after being here for, what, the better part of 2 years already. The Dally M medalist, of course, in 2018, and he's off to New Zealand rugby to play for the Blues, and he'll be shooting for the All Blacks next year. I have absolutely no problem with this loss. Others do, which I can't believe. What are your thoughts?
Look, I don't really think it's an issue. I don't think the Warriors are going to make the finals. I think they've sacrificed a lot over the last couple of years. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, he's missed home. I don't think he had his family out here last year with him. And he was worried about being stuck here in Australia when the borders are closed. So I can totally understand his position. Obviously, he's going to a new code. He wants to be back there to start. And the Warriors, because of the service that he's given them, have allowed him to go and do that. Look, I think, you know, if it was over there in New Zealand and everything was in place and everything was normal, I could see an issue with it. I'd like to think that the Warriors would stay strong, but for what he's done for the club and, you know, where they're at the moment, I can't see an issue with it. And the other thing about Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, I mean, they've been playing him in different positions. I mean, if they were fair dickum, they would have...
He'd be fullback.
Fullback. He's a better fullback at this stage in his career than what young Reece Walsh is.
A couple of texts coming through here. Congratulations to Ariane on such an inspiring and emotional win, but we shouldn't forget all of those in the background who contributed to the win, and not least of those would have to be Laurie Daly. We've seen his ability to stop great horses winning races simply by placing his hard-earned on them. So when he said yesterday he was going to take the good odds on Ledecky, well, not even a champion swimmer like her had a chance of winning that race, says Ian at Little Bay. That was a tactic, obviously, Loss, wasn't it? You actually helped Arnie Titmus win gold.
You watch me what I do this weekend when the Raiders take on Newcastle.
Tip the Knights.
Exactly right.
Okay, here we go. So, morning, boys. We are so disappointed at RTS here leaving the Warriors so early, says Gabrielle from New Zealand. And, okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah, Warriors fans, any Warriors members here in Australia or listening across the ditch as well, bigsportsbreakfast.com.au. Or send us a text. Tell us what you think of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck leaving early. But as Loz said, like, if the Warriors were fair dinkum, he would be playing fullback and every week. So, yeah, let us know what your thoughts are. It is 6 o'clock. JR coming up with the news. Just want to hear from you this morning, 13:53:53.